Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program, those tuning in through 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, those tuning in through our switchboard, our live chat, or our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. Have a great hour coming up for you guys this Monday evening. We're going to kick things off on the books side by speaking to author Stephen Manchester. He's making his first appearance here on the program. We're going to talk to him about his journey as an author, but also his book, 12 Months, a really powerful book I think that will help us all to put our lives in perspective. Because it is Monday at 25 minutes past the hour, we're heading up to Massachusetts for our resident chef, Bruce Treader. He'll be giving us our quick and easy cooking tip of the day. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to turn it over to the music side of our program when recording artist MLN will be making his first appearance on the program. We'll be talking to him about his love of music, what it's been like for him to share that on stage with the world, but also he'll be introducing his new single as well. It's going to be a great hour today. Glad you all could join us for it. As I said, to get things kicked off, Stephen Manchester is with us. Stephen, welcome to Conversations Live.
Thank you, Cyrus. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, glad to have you on, Stephen. And I want to say again to you on the air here, Stephen was actually supposed to join us a while back, and we had some technical issues, but he was gracious enough to reschedule with us. So, Stephen, I'm glad we were able to make this happen. I want to start off by saying congratulations on this book. 12 Months is probably, and I don't say this all the time, but probably one of the most powerful books I've read this year. And the reason I think that is because it really helps us to understand that when it comes down to it, all of us really have a similar journey that we have in life. What has it been like for you, Stephen, to be able to not only to put this book out into the world, but to get the feedback that you've been getting about the impact it's making on other people as well?
No, it's been amazing. I mean, it was an amazing journey to write the book, to come up with the idea, and it was really one simple question. If you had 12 months left to live, and I mean, only 12 months, what would you do? I mean, really do with that time that you were given. So I was very, very fortunate. I signed a contract with the Story Plant and began to work with a gentleman by the name of Lou Aronica. And we developed the story to the point, and I knew it was going to be an emotional story, but the feedback that we received, I mean, we've gotten, you know, dozens and dozens of 4- and 5-star reviews on Amazon and Goodreads and Barnes & Noble. But the conversations that I've had with some of the readers has been very profound to me. And I really honestly can't appreciate it enough. I mean, it's just been an amazing journey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think part of the amazement, Stephen, is the fact that you really have gotten readers into this character. Don DeMarco is someone who I think kind of comes to life to us. And you really made it personal and powerful by writing this book in first person. Was that something easy for you? Was it easy for you to get in Don's head the way that you had to and to be able to share his story with the genuineness that you had to?
Well, that's a great question because I've been writing for, you know, between 15 and 20 years, and I served in the first Gulf War, and I promised myself, you know, if I made it home, I would chase the dream down and become the author, right? But since then, I've been writing in the third person, and I decided to write this book in the first person because of that reason. I mean, unless I could laugh, I don't expect the reader to laugh. If I can't cry along with this character, I don't expect the reader to cry. And it was really having to get into his skin and take an ordinary man and then put him in front of some extraordinary circumstances to see what he would do. And, right. And, you know, when this book, the idea of the book first came about, you know, I had this question about what if you only had 12 months left to live. And I asked my wife a question, you know, over dinner one night, and it was a very strange conversation because neither one of us really expected some of the answers that came out of it. And if you really start to dig down deep about it and you only had that amount of time, it's amazing how precious, you know what I mean, life can be in the moments that we're given.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there is something interesting that I thought about when I was reading this book, because 12 months, to me, kind of had a dual meaning in the book. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we delve more into the book. I want to go back to this literary experience, because as you mentioned, you know, this is not your first book. When did you know that writing was something that you wanted to share? You talk about, of course, being able to do it, but when did you know for sure this is something you wanted to share with all of us?
My grandfather, you know, I guess there's always that one person in everybody's life, right, that walks on water for them. And for me, it was my grandfather. Very, very simple man, salt of the earth. But he was an amazing storyteller. And I remember being very young thinking how great it is to be able to make people laugh, but more importantly, to make people feel about something. And I was awestruck by him. Unfortunately, he never put anything, you know, he never put pen to paper, never captured anything. But as I grew, I really knew that I wanted to have that same power where I could move people with just by collecting words and putting them together and kind of bringing people into your world. And as I said, I mean, in a previous life, I worked in law enforcement, and I actually served in Operation Desert Storm, and it was a brutal experience. But I think it was the type of experience that spun me on a dime and made me think about whether it be 12 months or 12 years or 12 minutes. You know, we only have a certain amount of time, all of us, right? I mean, the clock is ticking. So
right.
if you think about that, the question is, what do you want to do with it? And for me, it was about, you know, telling the stories like my grandfather told, but this time on paper.
Right. Well, for those that are just tuning in on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Stephen Manchester. He's the author, among other work, of the book 12 Months that has some 50-plus reviews on Amazon.com. And when I was prepping for this segment with you, Stephen, I thought about some of the responses that some people have written about this book. I think at the end of the day, you know, when you think about the journey that you take readers on in this book, we already know from the beginning of the book essentially what the end is going to be. I think what you really stress so importantly, and I want to talk about, is the middle. Because we all know that, you know, our lives are unpredictable. And I was thinking about it in my own life, that even though you might be told you have a certain expiration date, things can happen along the way to alter that or even to enhance it. Was it important for you for Don's story to really be less about him and more about the impact that one person could have on another?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for him, you know, the whole journey is, you know, it's not about living or dying. It's about, you know what I mean, what kind of impact he has on other people. And whether that be, you know, family members, his wife, they have this, you know, very deep love affair, you know, in the book. And there's things that go on with his daughter and also his grandchildren, which is his legacy, right? But then what I wanted to do is reach out and bring some strangers into the storyline and think that, you know, if you looked at it almost as if they were glimpses of his life, you know, each of these people that he touches or that touches him becomes, you know, his life in its totality, right? And it was really about those small moments. It's never found, like for me, it's not found in the greatness of these big moments, but in the smaller moments, those quiet little times when you look back later on, and those are the things that really made up the greatness of your life.
Yeah. You know, and you have this gentleman that we're able to meet, and, you know, you let us know from him as he's reflecting on this life, because it is about, of course, what happens in the 12 months, but also the life that he has lived. Death is something that was not new for him, and that's why I mentioned earlier about the dual meaning, because one thing that you share in the book and that you kind of alluded to in your own personal life is that he has been to war. He knows what war is like.
Right.
And of course, there was another 12 months in his life already that dealing with war and what happened there. You know, there was that one scene you wrote in the book, Stephen, where you talked about, I think it was one of the officers made a mention, Don was talking about one of the officers and talking about the dogs, and they couldn't bring them back because they had tasted too much blood. Talk about that. Talk about the impact that events in our lives can have, whether we know that, you know, that there is an ending or not, or that there is a predestined ending, how things that the decisions that we make sometimes can have those same effects. Just like with war, your hope is to come back. Your hope is to be successful. But that is not guaranteed, and not everybody will. So talk about that parallel that happens in the book as well.
Well, it's very insightful of you to bring that up. I mean, and it was, you know, it's one chapter within the book where, you know, the main character, our protagonist, Don DeMarco, who I hope is a very likable person, but he does have his flaws, and he gets sent into the jungles of Vietnam where he has to do things that, you know, he finds very difficult. And the healing process is clearly also very difficult for him, but it changes his life. It changes the way that he sees things, and he actually submerges himself into a world of monotony where, you know, he doesn't have to face these tragedies and things like that. For me, the parallel was, you know, I served in Operation Desert Storm, and I can never, ever thank you know, the American people at that time for the support that we received. But I remember getting off the plane, and they had actually rolled out a red carpet, which I thought was a little bit awkward. But, we marched upon the carpet, you know, coming home. And at the base of the stairs was a Vietnam veteran. And he saluted me. I saluted him, and I shook his hand, and he thanked me for my service. And I remember thinking, now, I mean, it's not me who should be thanked. It's you, right, because he was never thanked. And I think about him and his life and this one, you know, meeting that took place, and it took 5 seconds, but he became Don DeMarco for that chapter. And I imagine his life had changed profoundly as well, and hopefully he had found some peace where he could bring it back to where he was when, you know, he was 8, 10, 12 years old. And
I think, too, you know, it goes back to, you know, how we look at the word life and how we look at what it means to live, too, Stephen. There was that one part in the book where the family was gathered together, and basically Don was telling them what the prognosis was. And I described this, I think, in part in my review on Amazon, where Michael had asked the question, you know, what are we going to do? And Don's answer was so interesting, and I made a note of it because I think this is what we should all say each and every day. Don said, I am going to live. Talk about how taking Don's journey with him helped you to better appreciate the gift that was life and what we can do with our lives each day.
Well, I think that, you know, it's probably a human, you know, tragedy in a sense that we take everything for granted, and I think that's just human nature. I do it, everybody else does it. And by writing this book, by putting myself into the character circumstances to say that, you know, here's a gentleman who's faced with terminal cancer and he has a very limited amount of time left to go. For him to say that he's going to live, this is something where he's not talking about, you know, someday down the road I'm going to do this or I'd like to do that. He's talking about the next moment that I draw a breath will be the next, you know, the most precious moment that I have, and I want to share that with the people that I love and to ensure that they do the same, right? So it's really a reminder throughout the book that, you know, time is precious. So not to be cliche about it, but as I said, the clock is ticking, and to take these moments for granted, eventually these string of moments become your life, right? And you look back, you know, 60, 80 years later, and you may have some regrets.
Exactly. They're telling me we need to go to break here, Stephen, but I want to say this, though, before we do that and come back. And that is, you know, what you just said. I mean, I think the sober thing is, and I think the humbling thing is, the clock is ticking for all of us, is it not?
Oh, it is. Absolutely,
yeah.
Is.
Yeah, and I think that is the thing that, you know, that those around Don got to realize as well, you know, and I want to talk about actually one of the passions the two of you share, and that is writing. We're going to talk about how Don was able to see some of his work in print and how he was able to bring attention as well to things that matter to other people. So stay with us, Stephen. We're going to pick up there when we come back. Again, for those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Stephen Manchester, having a great conversation with him about his literary journey and his book, 12 Months. You guys stay with us. We'll be right back in 60 seconds with more Conversations Live.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
This is Dan O'Brien, author of the End of the World playlist, Cerulean Dreams, Bitten, The Ocean in the Hourglass, The Journey, The Twins of Devonshire and The Curse of the Widow, and Deviance of Time. As an editor for Empirical magazine and an independent author, I know how important it is to support radio stations like Conversations. Be sure to look for my books on Kindle and in paperback, as well as visit my blog at thedanobryanproject.blogspot.com and learn more about Empirical Magazine at empiricalmagazine.com.
And we're back with our conversation with Stephen Manchester. He's the author of, among other works, 12 Months. We've been talking to him about the book, the creation of the character Don DeMarco, and also the life that he decides to live in this book. Stephen, you know, I mentioned, of course, that you got to share part of your passion with Don, and that is him to be able to see some of his words in print. But once again, he uses this as an opportunity to bring attention to what others are doing. You bring up some very powerful topics in this book. of course. I mean, HIV, AIDS. I'm also bringing attention to others who may have it worse off than us. Is that another one of the lessons in this? Because I think Don even made the comment to us was that, you know, there are people who are always dealing with worse than what we are. So does that kind of help us to put what we're going through in perspective?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for him, I think part of the process of living out the remainder of his life was to understand that there were people who had it much worse, right, and that he could either wallow in his own sorrow and self-pity, or he could go out there and help some people, right? But I think one of the main messages here is that we are all attached, right, that we're all connected in one way or another, right? So we have this blue-collar worker who's, you know, for 50 years has gone to work every day, he's paid his bills, you know, he's raised his family, and then all of a sudden he realizes everybody around him is connected to him in some way, shape, or form, right? And this has a profound effect on how he lives out the remainder of his days.
Yeah. Really powerful message there. Now, of course, I mentioned some 50-plus reviews on Amazon.com, as you mentioned. People have been talking about the book in other places. Of course, they've been reaching out to you, too. Do you feel as though you achieved what you wanted to with this one? I think for authors like yourself, I think you want to give, you know, readers something that they will enjoy, but also I think something that will make them think a little bit. Do you think you achieved that with 12 months?
I do. I absolutely do. I think we have quite a ways to go, and I'm hoping that the message can be spread further. I mean, my initial, you know, goal is, you know, I write what I write for my children, right? So, you know, someday my youngest is 8 years old. You know, she's going to sit down and read this book, and it's a message that I can be proud of to share with her. Hopefully I'm still alive when she does read it. But if I'm not, I mean, it's things that mean, you know, a lot to me, and they're messages that I want her to take with her and hopefully pass on to her children. So once that's shared, you know, everything else really becomes that icing on the cake. And to get some of the feedback that I've gotten, and it's not an ego thing, but it is very, very humbling, you know, to talk to people and realize that it's touched them as much as it touched me by writing it.
Yeah, yeah. One of the ways you've been able to stay in contact with people, Stephen, is through the social networking sites like Facebook. What is it like to hear in real time? You know, times have changed so much with publishing where you used to have to wait on letters. Now, of course, people can tell you right away how they feel about something through sites like that. What is it like to get that instant feedback?
Well, it's invaluable, you know. I mean, prior to, you know, working with Lou Aronica and the Story Plant, right, to be quite honest with you, and I didn't realize it, but I was in the dark ages, right, and once I started working with him, you know, he hooked me into social networking, and it's beyond invaluable because you get to spread the word, but you also get feedback, which helps me to grow as a writer and a human being, so it makes my entire journey a little bit different as well, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's been fantastic to talk to readers and people who have I read the book and are able to, you know, to give me some feedback.
One of the things that also becomes a character almost in the book is jigsaw puzzles.
Yes.
We see them early on and then, of course, even until the end. And I was thinking about that aspect as well, the value. I can remember, and it kind of reminded me of when I was growing up, Stephen, where I used to frame my jigsaw puzzles as well. So I kind of can feel that connection with Dunn with that. But the puzzle pieces, what I thought was so interesting about that is that we all kind of work together in this puzzle of life, that it's not just one person that's doing all the work, that we're all interconnected that way as well. Do you think that through characters like jigsaw puzzles, that we're better able to understand how much there is that unites us and not as much that does separate us when it comes to what life means and what we're able to accomplish in life?
I think so. I mean, I think it was a very powerful metaphor, and I think most readers really picked up on it. I mean, the message that the main character, Don, had was really for his grandchildren to show them that. I mean, to show them that we have to all work together. You know, the complete picture doesn't happen at once, that you have to work at it. And the more that work that you put in, you know, the closer you get to seeing that full picture. But it is about cooperation. It is about working together and that you can't do it alone. So that I hope that the metaphor was powerful enough to help carry the book in some ways.
Yeah. Well, I think you accomplished that, Stephen. Again, Stephen Manchester, everyone. He's the author of the book, 12 Months. On the cover of the book, it says, "Your life is always ready to begin. And just I think what is so powerful is that even when people might count you out, even when people may say that you're washed up or you're too old or you'll never be able to do this because of where you live or where you come from, I think this is a book that it doesn't have to be a physical death. I think just people will write you off through different areas in your life that you can decide that you will make the most out of whatever time you have, whether it's one day, whether it's 10 days, 100 days, or whatever it might be, that you have the ability to be able to make the most out of each and every day that you're here and do as Stephen says, that you're going to live and realize what that means for you. Stephen, let our listeners know how they can find out more information about you as well as how they can get their copy of the book.
Well, I'm on Facebook, so look at, you know, Stephen Manchester on Facebook. I'm also at stephenmanchester.com. The book is located at or can be purchased on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. Most of the online sellers do carry it, and it's really the best place to pick up the book.
All right. Well, again, StephenManchester.com, if you do check that out. Stephen, my last question to you would be this. I mean, because you have this experience, of course, with writing and being able to connect with readers, there were aspiring authors that will listen to this program and will want to know how they can benefit from the road that you've been able to take. What do you tell those authors when they reach out to you, as I know they do? What do you say to them about the importance of staying true to their dream and not letting go of it?
Well, I tell them that perseverance is everything, right? And with perseverance comes that commitment to yourself. And you know, there are people that talk about writing for money or they talk about writing for fame. And I say, listen, I mean, if you're a writer, then that means you wake up in the morning and there's something that you want to put down on paper, right? So you put that down. And then you chase that, and you never, ever, ever allow somebody to tell you that it's not going to happen, right? I mean, these things don't happen overnight. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of time, but perseverance is the most valuable trait, and never, ever, ever quit.
All right. Great advice, and I think that goes for everything that we do in life, too. So, Stephen, you know, congratulations to you. It's been a real pleasure, I think, to share not only the message of this book, but also, I mean, what you've been able to do as well, I think, because it is definitely going to inspire other people to look at themselves and look at what's possible for them. And, you know, I think the life of Don, I mean, there's so much that we're able to learn about him in this book, but also I think so much that he was able to learn about himself as well. And I think, you know, that is one of the amazing things. I do want to throw this in, too, because I think, you know, it really made me think about relationships differently, too, Stephen, because, you know, especially for married couples, and you, I know, referenced your, you know, your family. There's, you know, that one scene with his wife where, you know, he was trying to kind of keep away from them what he was dealing with. And his wife said to him, are you ready, you know, to share this? You know, are you ready to do that? And she reminded him of the vows, you know, and I think that is such an important thing about the sickness and health and realizing that we don't, not only are we not in this world by ourselves, but we don't have to go through things by ourselves. I think that was another powerful lesson that you shared in the book. A lot, I think, for people to be able to dive into. And I hope, Stephen, as, you know, the work continues for you, I hope you'll come back and share with us again. We'd love to stay in contact with you.
Oh, I would love to, Cyrus. I appreciated the opportunity very much.
And no problem. Glad to do it. Again, Stephen Manchester, everyone. Again, the author of this book that I read is 12 Months. Your Life is Always Ready to Begin. And that is a message for all of us. Again, you can find out more information about Stephen by going to StephenManchester.com. Also, you can go to TheStoryPlant.com for more information about the book. Stephen mentions that he also has a Facebook fan page, so make sure you do check him there under Stephen Manchester. And the book is available through our partner, Amazon.com, as well as other online retailers as well, so you can find it there. Now, if you came in late and missed part of the conversation with Stephen, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air at the end of the hour. You can, of course, find the link on our Facebook and Twitter page as well. The great thing about our primetime show is it's available as an MP3, too. So if you don't just want to listen to it, but also download it to share with your friends to your iPod or iTunes, you can do that by clicking on the Download Now button that's there at the bottom. It's now time for us, though, to head up to Massachusetts, where our resident chef Bruce Treader is standing by to give us our quick and easy cooking tip of the day. Bruce, go ahead. It's all yours.
Hi, I'm Bruce Treader, and welcome back to Quick and Easy Cooking on Conversations Live with Cyrus Webb. Quick and Easy Cooking is the practical cooking segment for real people who want to get a good meal on the table real fast. Last week, I talked about how to make French toast incredibly easily in the microwave oven. Like I mentioned last week, One of the coolest things about making French toast in the microwave oven is using the same plate to soak the bread, cook, and then eat the French toast from. Tonight I'm going to talk about how to top French toast if you want to top it with something that's got legs to it that's not just going to be super sweet. And it's all very easy. And hey, since Election Day is thankfully right around the corner, how about I provide you with freedom of choice? Here are three alternative French toast toppings. French toast with yogurt, jam, and fresh fruit. French toast with nut butter and jam. And French toast with a savory topping, which is a great way to have French toast for lunch or even dinner. The first topping I'll talk about is French toast with yogurt, jam, and fresh fruit. And here's all you'll need. You'll need some French toast. So if you use that microwave French toast recipe I gave out last week, it's a super cool way to go. You can find it on my site, which I'll mention later on. Then also some yogurt. I like using non-fat Greek yogurt because it has 2 to 3 times the protein content as regular processed yogurt. Then your favorite jam, some fresh fruit. So you can use some berries or any kind of fresh fruit. Your favorite fruit will work out just fine. Then your favorite dried fruit, and that's optional, but it adds a little bit of chew to the whole thing. Then a teaspoon, and finally a tablespoon. Now top the warm French toast with 1 to 2 tablespoons of yogurt and 1 to 2 teaspoons of your favorite jam. Then rinse any fresh fruit you're going to use in the sink and add it to the French toast topping. Finish by topping with an optional half handful of your favorite dried fruit. All very easy. The second topping I'll talk about is French toast with nut butter and jam, and it's even quicker and easier than the topping I just talked about. And all you need for this is a piece of French toast, your favorite nut butter, so either almond or peanut butter or any kind of nut butter, your favorite jam, and finally a table knife. Easy. For the action, all you have to do is spread an even layer of nut butter and your favorite jam over a warm French toast. Easy. That's all you have to do. And here's the final topping that might sound a little different, certainly more different than the last two toppings I just talked about. The recipe is called French toast with a savory topping. And like I mentioned, it's great for lunch or even dinner. It'll take you about 2 minutes to put this together and then about 1 to 2 minutes to cook in the microwave oven. Now what you're going to need first is, again, one piece of cooked French toast, then your favorite cold cuts or any leftover meat, your favorite cheese, a half an apple or a pear, your favorite salad dressing, some grated Parmesan cheese, and that's optional, or your favorite cheese, any kind of cheese will work out just fine. Your favorite dried fruit, that also is optional, some ground black pepper, and then for equipment, you'll need a microwave oven safe plate, a cutting board, a short bladed sharp knife or a paring knife, and finally, a tablespoon. Now for the action, what you need to do is rinse an apple or a ripe pear in the sink. Then cut the apple or pear in half lengthwise. Cut one of the halves in half again lengthwise and remove the core. Then cut the quarters lengthwise into 3 to 4 slices. And then cut one of the sliced quarters in cross-section into bite-sized pieces. That'll just go on the side of the plate when you're done. Now, cover a slice of French toast on a microwave oven safe plate with 1 to 2 slices of cold cuts or a similar amount of leftover meat and an even layer of cheese. Put the plate in the middle of the microwave oven and cook using your microwave oven's 100% power or high heat for about 1 minute or until the cheese melts. Now, I use a 1200 watt microwave oven to warm the French toast when I do this, and cooking time will vary depending on your microwave oven wattage. Now, after warming the French toast, carefully remove the plate from the microwave oven. The cheese should be melted. If your cheese is not yet melted, keep warming the French toast in the microwave oven at 30-second intervals until the cheese has melted. Then, top the warm French toast with apple or pear slices and then put the chopped apple or pear quarter that you cut earlier on the side of the plate. Then finish by adding your choice or a combination of the following ingredients: salad dressing, your favorite dried fruit, grated Parmesan cheese, and or ground black pepper, and serve warm. So there they are, three French toast toppings that will give your French toast lasting energy with added flavor, which is really, and hey, this is Election Eve, a big win-win. Yeah, I hope you get a smile out of that. As always, if these radio directions gave you all the help you need, great. But if you're more visually oriented, you can get complete, easy-to-follow, step-by-step picture book directions by going to the Gotta Eat, Can't Cook website at www.gottaeat.com. That's GOTTA-eat.com. Just click the breakfast tab in the middle of the home page, then click your choice of French toast toppings on the page to download a step-by-step picture book recipe, all entirely for free. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great week, and please listen in next week, same time, for more quick and easy cooking with me, Bruce Treader, right here on Conversations Live with Cyrus.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
It is 30 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to once again welcome those back joining us here on the radio side of our program, those tuning in through 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, either through our switchboard, our live chat, or our podcast. We're glad to have all of you back with us. Recording artist M. Elian is making his first appearance here on our program to talk to us not only about his love of music, but also to introduce his single Moving On here on our program. MLN, welcome to Conversations Live.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing really well, man. Thanks a lot for being on with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, we're going to be listening to one of your singles here in a moment, the single Moving On. But before we get into that, I want to talk about what this experience has been like for you. I, like many others, have been staying in contact with you, especially on Facebook, and know that you've been busy performing lately. What has it been like for you to be able to share this gift that you have with the world the way that you have been able to?
It's awesome. That's really the only way to put it, to be able to have a vision, have thoughts, emotions, and whatnot, and be able to put them out there and actually have people enjoy it. You see the smiles on the faces. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, this is not something that you just started yesterday. I mean, I know that you've been doing this for quite some time. I mean, so you've been very true to it. What is it do you think, MLN, has kept you going when, quite frankly, so many people, since you first made the decision to do this, so many other people have come and gone? What is it about you that makes you stick around when so many others give up?
Well, for one, it's really the love of the music and knowing what I'm capable of. I know if I continue to push, I know I can do it.
You know,
and it's been a lot of fun, and to be able to do something on this level, it's just really awesome to be able to do, to start from scratch. It's nice.
So tell us about the internet. I believe that the internet really does kind of level the playing field in a lot of ways, and helps artists like yourself to be able to reach an audience that maybe you wouldn't reach in person. How do you feel as though the internet has helped your career and especially helped you to grow your fan base?
Well, this is kind of easy for me. I grew up in a town of 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the town where I'm at now, where my studio is based and record label is currently based, has a population of just over 2,000 people.
Wow.
So with the amount of people that I reach is much greater than that. And so without the help of the internet and social networking, it would definitely be a lot tougher. But
right.
with the technology, I'm able to reach across the world, so it's really nice.
Well, you know, what you do, you know, and I know this is no secret to you because you're actually the one doing it, but, I mean, I think a lot of people don't understand that music is more than just about being able to sing. It is a business, and it is a package. Talk to us about how you're able to balance the fact that, you know, that it is a total package. People are looking at you physically. They're listening to you. There are certain things that are expected of you. How do you kind of balance all of that? And then, of course, keep the joy in it as well and not feel the pressure of, you know, of the business side of it.
Well, fortunately, on the business side, my father, he's always been an entrepreneur. He's always had successful businesses. So running the business side, that's been easy to kind of look at,
mm-hmm.
but trying to mix it with actually being a performer and how it really touches. It touches me personally because when I go out there, it's not like I'm a business in my own flesh. I'm still a person when I'm out there in front of the people.
Right.
And it makes me. It definitely is tough at times. It definitely is tough at times, but I definitely put my heart out there, and I do it for the fans.
Right.
And so it's just one of those things where you just go out and have a good time, and that's really all you can do. And just make sure you don't go too overboard, but have a good time.
Right, right. Well, for those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with recording artist MLN. He's talking with us not only about the experience, what it's been like for him to share his music with the world, but also how this all began for him. You know, what is it that has kept him going? So when you think about music, when you think about what you're able to create, what does music mean to you, and what do you hope then your fans are able to take away from that love of music that you have?
Really, music is emotions personified. Through music, you can end up expressing yourself and expressing emotions in such a way that words just cannot do. And it's the mixture of the lyrics and the actual composition of the instrumental. And all of that together just all comes together, and you even have a physical response to what you hear. And there's just there's nothing like that.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
To me, it definitely is. It really is a language, but really the universal language that we all can kind of relate to.
Can you tell us what responsibility then you feel to the music? And I guess what I mean by that is, you know, there are people who will want to try to make you what they want you to be. They will want you to produce the kind of music that they want you to produce. How do you stay true to the music, true to the craft, as you're growing your business and growing your brand?
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to put my name behind something that I don't like, and that's the bottom line. I have to really enjoy what I'm listening to. If I put something out, I don't want it to be something that somebody else just wanted to hear of me.
Right.
I want to give, you know, everybody what they want to hear, but at the same time, it's like I have to be true to myself. If I'm going to be an artist, if you want me to put out this music throughout the years, then I have to be true to myself, and I have to enjoy it so that I can spread that joy to all the audience that wants to hear it.
Right, right. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question as a personal question about the success for a moment, and that is this. When you see the album covers with your picture and your name on it, when you hear the music yourself, does it sink in yet that this is you, that you are actually doing what you have loved for so long? I mean, has it sunk in for you that this is something that literally is traveling around the world?
In some aspects, yes, but in other aspects, no. Just because I haven't been to all of those corners of the world to see the entire impact, but I mean, it's nice to be able to hear different things from the different countries, different states,
right,
and whatnot. But you know, I have yet to experience experience it fully. And I mean, I'm here creating all the music from, like I was saying, from scratch. And so, like, that part of it, like, yes, I understand it's definitely me, but at the same time, it actually getting out there and reaching the masses, it still is one of those things that's pretty awesome, kind of bizarre. But I like it. It's just one of those things where, you know, one day I'll be able to really see, you know, just everything completely all coming together before me. But, you know, right now it's just, you know, it's just heavy grind, just heavy grind.
Gotcha.
One day I'll look up and I'll see.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about this single. I'm going to ask my producer, Jeff, to get Moving On ready. Talk to us about the single Moving On, MLN, and kind of how it came about and what you hope our listeners take away from it.
Well, I'm moving on. It definitely it came from the depths of my heart. Depths of my heart is something that I did actually go through. You know, I'm moving on. Just the actual title itself, when you think of that, it's powerful in itself. And for me, it did stem from a relationship. And, of course, we all have a relationship that just tore us to our heart. You always love that person, but at the same time, you just have to walk away.
Right.
You know, you have to move on. But not only just that, but the moving on process is getting stronger and not, you know, not being bitter, but taking what you have and making the absolute best of what you have. That's what I want people to take from that. That's what I want my fans, my friends, that's what I want them to take from my moving on. You know, it's a sad piece, but at the same time, there is that light at the end of the tunnel. So.
Gotcha. Well, since we have you here, why don't you go ahead and do the honors and introduce the single for us?
All right. This my single is I'm Moving On. It is the title of my debut album, and I hope you enjoy.
That was recording artist MLN with I'm Moving On here on Conversations Live 92.3 FM and online through blogtalkradio.com. We're actually joined by the man, MLN, is making his first appearance here on the program. Been talking to us a little bit about this journey and music he's been on, but also what it's been like for him to share this gift. So, you know, when people, you know, hear that single, of course, when you introduced it, MLN, you mentioned that it was actually the title track from your first project. How can they stay in contact with you, and how can they also, you know, get the music that you have out now?
Well, I have a few links that they can find me at. It's www.mlnmusic.com. That's my website. And I have, of course, my email address, Facebook link, Twitter, YouTube. Can subscribe to any of those. All of that's available right there on the website. Also, if you look for the music there, if you sign up for my mailing list, you can download the free single Satisfaction and also listen to a few other ones streaming there. So yes, www.mlnmusic.com.
Now, I know you've been doing a lot of live performances. I've been staying busy that way. What else do you have going on that our listeners should be watching out for?
Well, I have a new record label that has just been approved by the RIAA and internationally. And so through that, I'm going to be getting some distribution worldwide and trying to put this little area, you know, 2,000 people, try to spread it out to for the entire world and let everybody know what we have to offer, you know.
Awesome. Well, I think that's one of the great things about it, man, you know, being able to show people what's possible. And that brings me to this question, MLN. I know there are aspiring artists and other people with a dream that are listening to this and want to, you know, they believe, you know, that they have something that they want to share too, not really sure how to do it or, you know, the path. What would you say to them as far as advice goes about the importance of realizing that dream and staying true to it?
Well, without staying true to it, it really is a dirty game. People talk about how dark the industry is and how it can eat you up. And the thing is if you aren't a strong person, if you're just going to let not just people but events and time and circumstance mold so much of everything that you're doing and you lose sight of where you're at, you're never going to achieve you're never going to achieve your dreams. It's like you're going to have to take that time to sacrifice no matter what ends up coming in your way, because there's never ever anything that is really given to you. Like, there's that possibility that, you know, you may have that benefactor. But at the same time, if you aren't pushing and if you don't have that dream and people don't see the conviction in your eyes and hear it in your voice when you talk, then who is going to want to help you? Who really will want to help you at that point? It's like you really have to be in control of your own destiny and go ahead and grab it for yourself. And yeah, just don't wait. Don't wait for anything. Don't wait for anyone. Just go and do it, and that's it.
Well, great advice there, and you're hearing it from someone who's doing just that. Again, recording artist MLN making his first appearance here on our program. Go ahead and give them that website out one more time for them to be able to find out more information about your music and also where else they can find you there.
All right, yes, it's www.mlnmusic.com, and in there, if you go to the contact section, you will see my information there. Also displayed throughout the website is Facebook, the Twitter, and also the YouTube. So definitely get with me on all of those. Send me some mail. Say what's up. Let me know how you like it.
All right. Well, MLN, congratulations again to you. MLNmusic.com is where you can find them. And, man, it goes without saying, feel free to stop by anytime. We definitely want to thank our mutual friend, Lakeisha, for making this interview possible. I want to thank her for connecting us. I know she's listening, so thank you so much for that. And, MLN, make sure you feel free to come by anytime to keep us posted on what's coming up next for you.
Hey, and thank you very much for having me once again.
No problem. Glad to do it. Now, if you missed any part of the conversation with MLN or our first guest, Stephen Manchester, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. Just click on the link. There you'll be able to listen to it completely for free, as well as just save it to your computer using the Download Now button that you'll see there. There you can save it as an MP3 and then, of course, be able to share it from there. That's going to do it for us for this part of our program. I'll be off tomorrow. It is Election Day, so there will not be any of our live programs tomorrow, but I'll be rejoining you guys on Wednesday for our full shows, both at 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. Eastern. So until then, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Have a great one.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.